soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. The prayer that has been ours for the Sundays of Lent is now the prayer of Jesus in the garden. Out of the depths, wrought in him by becoming human, by inhabiting our human condition, by consenting to die. Out of the depths, he cries to the Lord. But long before he prays on this night of agony, long before the pomp and palms that will hail him as David's greater son, Mark parades our frail flesh before him, in whom the reign of God has come near. Returned from the waters of baptism and the temptations in the wilderness, he hears the cry of a man possessed and frees him, cures a leper, not yet cures the fever of a disciple's mother-in-law who serves him. He is the destination of the diseased and the dispossessed, redeeming them to health and wholeness. He cleanses the leper with the word, forgives the paralytic his sins, and commands him to rise. Breaks bread with tax collectors and sinners, those who have need of a physician. Restores a withered hand on the Sabbath. Sends another man's demons named Legion into a herd of swine. Talitha cum, he says to a dead child, and she lives. A woman touches the hem of his garment, her hemorrhage immediately stopped. With 5 loaves and 2 fish, he feeds the hungry multitudes. The sick are brought to him on mats from villages or cities or farms and laid at his feet in the marketplace. A Syrophoenician woman begs him like a dog to restore her child to health, and he does. He opens the ears and stops the mouth of a deaf and dumb man, casts epilepsy out of a little boy, makes blind Bartimaeus to see. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our infirmities. Surely he has taken them as his own, assumed them so that he can redeem them, so that there can be no place we are where God is not. Out of the depths of human infirmity and weakness in the first place, out of the depths of all the troubles he's seen, out of the depths of lives lived on the edge of death as ours are, he cries to the Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. I sometimes think he asks that the hour pass from him, the cup be removed, because he cannot bear to leave us in such a mess, leave us in so many pieces without him. our opposition to God. An opposition foreshadowed in the questions sprinkled all throughout Mark's gospel. They are questions that seek to establish in our minds the proper distinction between good and evil. The distinction we once swallowed in another garden, the garden of our fall. They are questions used to keep our distance from the God who has come too near, the God who in Jesus Christ will defeat once for all everything that threatens to separate us from his love. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why do his disciples not fast? Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey? How can you say, who touched me? Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that he has been given? What deeds of power are being done in his hands? Is this not the carpenter? Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Tell me. At best, we turn away from him sorrowful. At worst, indifferent. At most, an enemy. To all our questions, he has only one question for us. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? On this day of high celebration, standing among the crowds that have come here out of the depths of helplessness and hopelessness to be healed by him, we shout, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna, save us from out of these depths, save us. But before the week is out, we will stand in a second crowd and cry out of depths far deeper and darker than we care to admit. These are the depths of opposition and separation that bully or shun, the depths that condemn or condescend, the depths that lynch or crucify or massacre or murder. From out of the self-justifying depths, the self-righteous depths, the self-important depths, the depths that cannot abide the way of God's love. Who do we say that he is? We say he was despised and rejected, stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We will call him a blasphemer, an enemy of God, a scapegoat. We will make him a scapegoat. And when morning dawns, we will have no conscience switching sides, dropping our palms and raising our voices to cry, crucify! Therefore, from out of the deeper depths of human sin and death-dealing, he cries to the Lord in the garden of our sin, cries in the Lord to the Lord in the garden for our sorry selves. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? Finally, after Jesus' prayer in the garden has been met by the deafening silence of God, remove this cup. Silence. It is a silence we know so well. Out of the depths, he cries in the third place, as mortals cry who know they must die. See how completely he inhabits our frail flesh. I am deeply grieved, he had said to his disciples who accompanied their stressed and agitated teacher on this fateful night. Not sad, not afraid, not angry, but grieved. So completely with us in life, now he has assumed without exception the condition of the only animal able to anticipate the hour of death. Remain here and keep awake, he says to Peter, James, and John, not for his sake, but even here, he gives us the help we need most, not help to live, but he gives us help to die. At last, of course, we cannot even watch 1 hour, just as we still cannot. If there is anything which brings out clearly the content of the gospel, that God is for us, says Karl Barth, it is this aspect of the event in Gethsemane, in which the act of God in Jesus Christ had absolutely nothing to correspond to it in the existence of those who believe in him. They could not watch with him even 1 hour. He alone watched and prayed in their place, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. For our part, then, given the busy week ahead, and a sermon almost long enough to complete our list of things we have to do, we will go about our business. Wake and eat and work and play and sleep, my creatures oblivious to the love unwanted and unknown who once walked upon the earth, oblivious even now to his hand upon our broken parts, his spit mingled with the tears in our blind eyes, his fingers unstopping our ears that refuse to listen for his word, his eye tenderly watching our every move as we walk inexorably toward the grave. Wait with him 1 hour this week, at the table, in the garden,